And welcome to Rebel Force Alliance, podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. My name is Edinar, and we are here for the first time in 2018 with a very, very, very special episode. We are doing our What We Want episode in 2018 with some special guests. So besides my usual, you know, oddball co-hosts Coleman and Dave, forget about them. And who really cares? I mean, you guys know their voices. It's okay. You know they're going to be here. Let's get to the important people first. So we'll start off with our first guest host is going to be Grande Patron from Dark Lords. Grande, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. It's awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good have you.
I'm also from Reality Skewed Gamers. So in-game, I'm in the Dark Lords Guild family, and then on YouTube, and then also on Discord, you can find me on in Reality Skewed Gamers. We have a YouTube podcast, and YouTube live stream that happens Wednesdays and Saturdays.
You can also add on to that Savior of Dathomir.
Yeah, I gotta feel good out of that, that's for sure.
Yeah, you are the savior of Dathomir. I thank you for this. And he got me, for helping out one of our guildmates, he got me a free drink. So, you know, I win-win in this. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And then our other, so we have five of us tonight, our other special guest host tonight is my fearless guild leader, from Dathomir and Rebel Force, Painted Land. How you doing, Painted?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. He's the reason I actually am going to give Painted credit for this show starting. Because I would not have joined Rebel Force Alliance if it wasn't for Painted. Thus, I would have never met Coleman. My life may be better off, but I would have never have met Coleman. So, you have him to thank, Coleman.
You know, I think Rebel Force brought a lot of good people together. So that's that's positive energy.
You know, Painted. I'm really starting to second guess this whole introducing me to Ednar thing.
Your life is better off now that you know me. I'm a ray of GD sunshine. So deal with it.
Definitely the most positive. About Slugga that I know. I mean, I'm positive all the time.
I am so positive and not a negative Nancy at times at all. I mean, it comes across quite frequently. Oh, and then we also have Coleman and Dave. How are you guys doing?
Well,
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah. You guys, did everyone? I mean, I'm assuming everyone had a good holiday. Yes. Anyone have a bad holiday?
This is not the place to share your bad holidays.
Other than the weather. No complaining about the weather.
This isn't the place to explain my New Year's. Okay. What happened, so.
Did you have a special pineapple stuffed anything?
No, I did not. I did have some sweet potato and coconut casserole, so that was pretty
See?
Good.
See? There you go. That's very Hawaiian.
A Hawaiian twist. I like it. Coleman, you'll be so excited to learn that I now have an entirely Gear 11 on its way to Gear 12 Trooper Team.
Hey!
So, and they should be happy. Dark Side, I zated Veers. It's so great. Now, it's seriously the most fun I've had with this game in a long time. There's so much fun.
They just keep rolling and going.
Yeah, between working on the trooper team and getting, Ray to Gear 12 and running Ray and BB-8 and stuff in Arena, like, I feel reinvigorated in Galaxy of Heroes right now. It was good. I needed, stuff needed to get shaken up for my own personal, roster, so it's good that that's happened. But I thought you'd be very happy to learn that I have indulged in the troopers and the Empire, so.
Yeah. Who are you running on that team?
The trooper team or an arena?
Yeah, for the trooper team, like, who are you considering? Because there's a few different...
I don't... under Coleman's advice, I don't run Shore. I'm going to gear him for an Empire team. So I run Veers, Stark, Death Trooper, Snow, and Storm.
Got it.
Okay.
You got to get Jerry in there, man.
Oh, Magma's Jerry.
yeah, I left Magma out. I left Magma out. Just somebody had to be left.
Don't doubt the Magma.
I have every intention of daring him at some point, and I want to work on Krennic and Shore still, but I focused on those five. Stark, I love Stark. I think he puts the he's basically steroids for that team with his first special. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
He makes them work as if they had already killed somebody on the team with the crit damage, with the crit up that that you didn't get before without him.
Yeah, the damage they can put out was shocking. Like, I had seen all the videos of them autoing Night Sisters. Like, I had seen how good they could be in certain certain situations, but it's just to actually put it into practice. Like, it's gonna be fun once I can get them all up to gear 12. I might even try them in arena just for fun.
Okay. Hey man, I just throw in troopers. In arena, they do just fine.
Are you still using probe droid?
I am.
Oh, I still hate you about that. So bitter.
I see, baby, for the win.
I have one shard. I got one shard. So I am well on my GD way to getting him in 2024.
You could get him in two raids, man.
I could get him unlocked, possibly. And so,
two raids. It's not that hard.
Well, there's only one a month.
Yeah, you got to understand, in Decimir, we only got Rolo to 5-star this morning.
Yeah. Congratulations.
We're not big on forced farms in Dathomir, Rebel Force Dathomir, but... we're big on love, right? Right, guys? Right?
We're on love. That sounds like a song.
It sounds like it's the catchphrase for Big Love on HBO. Or is that on Showtime?
You guys are like family.
We're big on love.
Yeah. We're big on love.
So not force farms.
Force farms.
I think I've threatened to kick out every person in the guild in the past, like, week.
Sounds lovely.
You sound like
a normal American family then.
Yeah, perfect. Like I was on vacation, so I was basically drunk for 10 days straight. So there was a lot of stuff getting spewed out and a lot of threats. It happens. I'm the drunk uncle.
The positive force. Yeah, the positive force in the guild, no doubt.
Yeah, like they caught on to my how I count tickets scheme. And I got yelled at. Because instead of actually putting in ticket numbers, I would just put plus 600. And they caught on to it, and I got yelled at. I was not very pleased with that. They caught on to me. So...
Hashtag, I did my 600.
Yes. So, well, let's get on. As we said earlier, we are going to go into... We each made a list of five things that we want to see in Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes in 2018. So we're all going to go through one by one. I'll call off on people so it's not just people spouting off. We're going to go each tell a number 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So there's going to be some repeats, but we'll just kind of wing it from there, talk about it. So we will start with, let's go with Coleman. Coleman, what is the fifth? Number five for you for what you want to see in 2018.
Yeah, you would start with me first.
It's because I know you're probably flustered and doing stuff, and I like to spite you.
You know what? I love your spite sometimes. It kind of kills me. Like whoever just turned on that dang vacuum cleaner.
Oh, see, I always figured you would get arrested again. And then you'd go visit Grande in prison. Yes!
We're already cellmates.
We're already cellmates. It's all right. I already gave him my best shiv. It's awesome.
That's key.
It's been a lifesaver.
It's key. So, you need to hide shivs everywhere because you never know when you're gonna have to stab someone. So Coleman, take it away.
I want some kind of, you know, just way to acquire more Omegas. Because the Omegas are killing me right now.
Okay. If we talk, this is like our third week talking about your Omega problem.
I know. And you knew it was going to be number five, so you know what? Screw you.
Did you buy the pack?
Every day.
You did buy it?
He's in Dark Lords. You buy the pack every day.
You buy the pack.
A stupid question by Edinar again.
It's like, it's wake up, have breakfast, buy the Omega pack, and then go on with your day.
Yeah.
No. If you know the pack is coming, you stay up till reset, because there might be an extra day at the beginning, and you can double buy it.
It might be like an extra 2 hours.
That's right. So you stay up till reset, just to make sure.
Oh, see, that's a billion times more commitment than I want to ever do.
Yeah. And it's just like I've gotten this crystal pop, the holiday crystal pop up like 4 times, and I bought it each time.
I've had the Boba Fett one pop up for me like 4 times after I bought it.
I've had it pop up twice.
Believe it, I tell you what, delete the game and reinstall it. It'll pop up again for you right away.
Yep.
Huh. Words of wisdom by Grounded.
And now you know.
The more you know. Sorry. Okay, so we know Coleman. Coleman complaining about Omegas again. All right. Next up, Grande. What's your number five, Grande?
So, number five for me is 15 more Dark Side characters. And that is, I want 15 more Dark Side characters. I want 3 First Order. I want 3 Bounty Hunter. I want 3 Empire. I want 1 Geonosian. I want 3 Troopers. I want 2 Night Sisters. I want 1 Sith. And I want 3 Tusken.
You went real specific on that, and I like it.
By the way, for those counting at home, that's more than 15. So what?
Like, all right, do you require, follow-up questions here, do you require them to be named characters, or can they just be randos?
You know, it's going to be a mixture of both. I mean, we can have kind of random non-named characters that end up being incredibly good. Some examples of characters that are non-named that are really good would be like Night Sister Zombie, right? Incredibly good character. Not a named character. Totally okay with that. As long as the character is good. I know a lot of people have actually, you know, I'd like that. Some people know about my kind of generation theory about characters. I would prefer to have them be Gen 4 and Gen 5 characters. There's a description. You go back into the Reality Skewed Gamers website about Gen 4 and Gen 5 characters. But I would like to have them be Gen 4 and Gen 5, just as a brief kind of summary. Gen 4 characters would be that they have at least one Zeta ability and sometimes more, and then Gen 5 characters would be Zeta abilities, usually more than 2, and that they have a unique ability or a non-dispellable buff or debuff. So Gen 4 and Gen 5.
Would you accept characters like the Troopers, right, or TIE Fighter Pilot? There's just some great characters that have great kits.
Absolutely.
That don't need that kind of investment. I mean, Zombie is an example of that, right?
Yeah, Zombie is probably an example of probably one of the best, what I would consider like a Gen 3 type character, right? She's one of the best of those type characters. You know, TIE Fighter Pilots type characters, you know, Sith Assassin type characters, Night Sister Acolyte, you know, Snow Trooper, Storm Trooper, any of those kind of characters. You know, another healing taunt for Darkseid would be great. Another healing taunt. Please give me a taunting, healing bounty hunter. For the love of
Bosk.
God.
Bosk. Yeah. Bosk.
You know who else could be? I'm not even going to. I'll bring it up later.
I'm sure you will. Number one for Ednar. No.
Yeah.
Everyone, I guess what I'm going to say for one.
Yeah. So, anyway, I mean, there could, you know, I just feel like. I just feel like we need more dark side characters, right? And I've said, hey, I've given you plenty of breadth here, CG. You know, I basically named off almost every dark side faction and said, hey, this is kind of what I want, right? So, There you go. That's my number five.
All right, that's your number five. It's a good number five. Everyone wants more Dark Side characters. So, Dave, we'll go to you next. What's your number five?
This is big, I guess. I didn't put these in any particular order. So let me start with a lesser one. I'll play off of something that was just said. So I want them to finally address the Bounty Hunter with the rework. Ideally with and you're gonna say the name, so I won't say that, but I would really like Bossk. I know I have a couple people within Rebel Force that would love to have Bossk as well. So I think when it comes to Bounty Hunters, they came out with they reworked Boba, right? And he was wonderful when they did that, and he was a lot of fun, and I think people starting to use him in Arena with a variety of different teams, whether he's as a lead or then it was that short little time span where it was like whoever's Boba's fastest kind of thing to get the mass ability block up. And they gave him those cool things to work with within his kit, but then Bounty Hunters generally aren't great. And I've gotten to play with them a little bit, right, because of Dark Side Territory battles, and I don't have them all super high gear outside of Boba and IG-88, but they have fun. They have interesting kits that I think a right couple characters could maybe pull them back together to make them into a kind of interesting, useful team, besides just the fact that they're likely to also rework the existing characters in some way as well. So whether that's with Zetas for the existing ones or changing their abilities slightly and then adding a few, we'd just like them to see them rework that category. It's a shame it didn't happen in time for the Dark Side Territory battle, since they're actually used and required for a lot of that. But because they're used and required there, if people are going to work on them, it would then be nice to almost as like a, hey, good job on working on this faction. Here's a couple extras that make them now useful in other modes within the game, especially something like Arena. So Bounty Hunters is what I want.
Fair enough. Okay. I think everyone wants a Bounty Hunter rework at this point. Everyone wants a Bounty Hunter because everyone wants the most important Bounty Hunter of all time, which is number one.
Boss.
Shut your dirty pie whore mouth. So next we will get to you, Mr. Painted Land. Painted, what would be your number five?
You say everyone wants a Bounty Hunter rework. I won't say great minds think alike, maybe just Rebel Force minds think alike. My number five was Bounty Hunter rework. Everyone who shares a Discord with me knows that when they released Wampa, I kind of lost my shit because I thought that should be Bossk. I mean, obviously the Bounty Hunters play a giant role in Empire. You know, if it's a Hoth-based territory battle, I felt like
Embo.
That was a natural place.
Embo
is not... You know, Empire, you know? I mean, I love Embo. Embo's on my list. I want Adventurous Alt. I want Aura Singh. I want another Kenobi in there as Racco Hardeen. I mean, anybody from Clone Wars episode The Box. And I want a legendary, you know, part of this. I think it's a legendary where you have clones and bounty hunters. I don't think bounty hunters are good enough by themselves right now to really have a good legendary. But if you want Django, put in clones, put in bounty hunters, have it be a combo. You get a good legendary there. I know that doesn't really fit with the business practices currently in terms of who's the panic farm if you do that kind of legendary, and maybe nobody. But I think all those characters, you know, exactly as Dave is saying, you know, they're a huge part of the lore. Everybody loves them, essentially. It's a big thing for improving Dark Side overall.
My number five is... actually a different rework. My number five is a Jedi rework. And the reason I say Jedi, regardless what everyone, if you like light side or dark side, Jedi is probably the most important faction in all of Star Wars. Like, people love Empire, but people really get behind Luke Skywalker, Yoda, all those guys, and people love Jedi. And right now, there's just, they're not viable. As a team, they're not viable. A lot of them are good plug and play in other teams, but you can't build an actual Jedi team that's viable right now. And that's what I want. Start with making Yoda, make Yoda good. I was going to say make Yoda great again, but I didn't want to be that guy. And, you know, you don't need to add any more Jedi. You just need to rework the ones that we already do have. So that's my number five. So we will go on to number four. Coleman, what would be your number four?
All right, so I have my number four. This one I really want to see super badly. Combat missions to not be locked after three-starring a territory.
So
that is super annoying to me.
All right, so here's
because you just want to play the mission, or because you're worried that your score's lower than others.
Both.
Okay, so here's how I'm perceiving our list compared to Coleman's list. Ours is a more overall swugaga like focus. And Coleman's is more like, do this because it's for me.
You said wish list, so I'm like, okay, I have my wish list.
You have one of those sitting in number one of your list too, Ednar. So
I believe a lot of people want what I have at number one on my list.
I can count the number of people that repeat that on auto all day long at one, and it's you. So no, I think it's okay. It's okay. I mean, I do like that you can't. I don't like that you can't do them. I mean, it's like, I wish it was more particular. Because I do want to, like, I can't. I'm like always late for. I'm in Yavin, right? So Yavin slays it and goes right through it. Similar to, I'm sure, what you guys do in Dark Lords. So it's like, I don't get an opportunity if I'm like a little late. I haven't done ships like in so long. I don't even, like, for a light side territory battle. Like, I haven't done a ship battle in, I don't even remember last time, because I'm never able to do it. I don't hop on right away, and like it takes so little participation to three star the ships that, like, inevitably you don't get to do them. And like, I could see where that could be annoying if you if you're a little late to the game and not being able to do the combat missions, especially if you like to play with those characters. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, I think I get that.
Yeah, no, it's fun to me.
Oh, what was that painted?
So,
sorry to step on you. I'm not new to radio. New to radio. I agree. I mean, I think that a big problem, and this relates to my number four upcoming. I think that when by locking at three star, you're actually depressing the desire to gear the teams that are necessary. You know, if we get to a point where, especially because they've pretty much labeled these are the kind of teams you need, if you're in a guild that you know you don't have to work on ships because you're never, they get three stars, right? You don't work on them. And I feel like this is a game like you should have. There should be reasons why you want to do certain things, right? Beyond saying Phoenix is the faction you have to use for this mission, right?
Yep.
And I feel like if you lock it at three, it means that, well, I don't really need to, because I know that, you know, my guildmates are going to hold me up on this. I don't really need to invest in it.
Nope, makes complete sense. So, all right, next we'll go to Grande. What's your number four, Grande?
My number four is more ships, and it's one fleet commander and 15 crew members, 3 Rebel, 5 Empire, 3 Galactic Republic, 5 First Order, 1 being a capital ship, and 4 being regular crew members.
Okay. Man,
you like how precise I get?
You are very precise about this. All right, I won't go into what kind of ships.
I need a spreadsheet.
So the reason for this is because if we got 3 Rebels in the game, it would make a full fleet under Admiral Akbar. The reason for 5 Empire is because it would make a full fleet. All 9 under either Thrawn or Tarkin. The reason for 3 Galactic is because it would make a full fleet of 9 under Mace Windu. And the reason for 5, 4 plus 1, 1 fleet commander, and 4 First Order is because then we would get a full fleet of First Order. Does it make sense now?
It does make sense.
It does.
Yeah. No, it does. It does make sense. And, I mean, I've been saying this, and Painted is sick of me talking about ships, because
among other things, but definitely that.
I am very much sick of the stale ship meta. That's out
there. I think it's perspective, right? Ships meta, I don't believe is very stale at all. We have guys in my fleet that run up to the top with Mace Windu. We have guys that run up with Tarkin. We have guys that run up with Thrawn. And we have one guy that can make it easily into the top 20 with a home one. So, and I'm on a ship server that has multiple people that are over 3.4 mil total galactic power. So I think of it as totally fine, and that it's not stale. It's just you have to kind of think outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, for capital ships, those can mix and match. I think everyone, I mean, there are ships that you have to almost always have in your starting five. I mean, you have to have the TIE fighter pilot, Vader's ship, Biggs, are like the mandatory three.
I actually disagree on Vader. I mean, I know we're going to rehash a bunch of fights we've had overall when it comes to ships, but I disagree. I mean, I think there are probably at least three really good starting fives. Now, there's a little bit of overlap between those starting fives, but there's at least three really great ones that I've seen. I don't think Vader, for example, is a necessary ship. You know, I mean, if I could, I'd run Bistan's ship in that place pretty easily because I think they do sort of the same thing, and Bistan's unique makes him way better under Thrawn to run than Vader, you know, than having Vader as an example.
I can't get into a ship battle because I'm going to lose. Yeah. I know I'm just going to lose a ship fight every time.
You know, I was going to bring up Silencer, but I'm like, I'm probably like one of the only ones. Never mind. Shutting up.
Yep.
Like, I intentionally...
We had a huge conversation today about how hard Silencer hits. And we were like, this is so awesome, man. And somebody actually made a video, and the guy almost fell out of his chair how excited he was about Silencer. And I was like...
Like, ooh. I went out of my way to get Kylo Ren Unmasked, fully gear 12, all three pieces, and I have a 7-star Silencer. I'm like, I'm having so much fun.
Alright, so I do have one last question for you, Grande. Since you said new capital ships.
At least one new capital ship, 15, and then 15 new regular cruise ships.
Who? The capital ship. That's the big one, because there's like...
It's gotta be First Order, right? And they got two choices, right? They got Hux or Snoke. That's what I think are their two choices.
Yeah, I would think it's probably Hux.
I would assume Hux.
Yeah, I would agree. Hux makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I mean, he's the one that's got him on the string, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah, that's right. Unique. Mm-hmm. Unique. On a string.
And just So we will go to Dave. Dave, you're next. What is your number 4?
All right. Mm-hmm. So here's what we're gonna do real quick. I don't think you guys will care about this, but I do have that 3 a.m. wake up call coming. So I'm gonna do. You already did Jedi. That was on my list, so I'm not gonna rehash that. I'm just gonna do my final three, and then I'm gonna go to bed. How's that work?
Wah.
Can I do that?
You can go ahead. You have permission.
All right, cool, great. So it's not going to take too terribly long. So two of them are very similar in that it's personal favorite characters that I want, one of which is in-game but is total bullshit, and I've gone through that before with you guys. And the other is he's in the game but only PvE, and I want him as a character I can put on a team. So obviously I've fallen in love with troopers recently, but if you guys know, for those that have been in Rebel Force, so Grounded, you're the only one that would know this, but my avatar is actually Scout Trooper, and it's been Scout Trooper for a very long time, and Scout Trooper's not in the game. He's in the game PvE. He's not in the game PvP. I want him to be in the game PvP. I want him to be usable on a trooper team. And that would be one of the characters that is not in the game that I would love for them to add in 2018. The other thing is Wicket. So I'm a huge Ewok guy. Wicket was a character I wanted since this game launched. They finally put him in the game. I didn't pay for him. And now you take it takes for frickin' ever to get him in one of the most bullshit, ridiculous release cadences in the history of character release cadences that I still don't understand why the hell or what the hell the rationale is for the way that they're releasing it. So, anyway, I guess you could make the same argument for Talzin because I would love to finish her at some point before 2019 as well. But so they could maybe just wake up and realize that that release cadence for these stupid events makes no sense and have Wicked Shards be available at least sometime much sooner, at least to finish him before, you know, sometime in middle part of next year would be lovely, and then adding Scout Trooper. My last one is a big one, I guess, in that I don't know if we're going to get it, but I would like a new raid. I think we had the two raids, you know, Rancor and AJT. They were great, and I guess that, I mean, it goes all the way back now to, what, 2016. They were great. They obviously got stale over time. Territory battles have been fun, but I do think it's time maybe to go back to a raid before they go back to new territory battles. I don't know if that's the decision that they're going to make. They're probably going to stick with territory battles. They seem pretty invested in them. Again, I have no idea, but I would love to see a new raid. I would love to see a new raid that has something to do with the new movies, because they haven't done that yet. Obviously, the Rancor raid covers the original trilogy. The HAT covers the prequels. It would be nice to have a new raid, who knows, maybe centered around Snoke. I know there's been rumors of that, but I don't know if they're, you know, how substantiated they are, of doing, you know, kind of a First Order or Resistance type based raid. Would be really cool in 2018. So I'd like to see that. I think it would be fun to go back to kind of raiding and making it super hard, and maybe like only the very top guilds can do it in the beginning, and some guilds have to build towards it. Might shake stuff up again in a negative way for guilds, but you know, I think it's just always fun to have really challenging content, even if it was only for like the first month or two that it's challenging, and then it's, you know, set it and forget it from that point forward. That's pretty much all the content anyway, so that really doesn't bother me if that ends up being the case. So, yeah, those are my three. Ednar, what questions do you have for me before I go to bed?
I don't really have any, because I think from what you asked outside of the new character you wanted, is stuff we're probably all going to discuss throughout the show. So,
Perfect.
So, go to bed.
Well, I feel really good that I joined. Coleman seemed upset that I wasn't going to, so I'm glad that I was able to. I'm going to go to bed and fly to Cincinnati in the morning, which is going to suck. But
is it because you're going to be flying that early, or is it because you're going to be going to Cincinnati?
Both.
I mean, you can have chili there.
I was going to say the same thing.
Like Skyline chili, that like stuff they put over like spaghetti?
No, that's goulash. Anyone who calls stuff with chili with noodles in it chili is not a sane human being. It is goulash or over-sauced pasta.
I mean, we're not exactly talking about the most sane region. They did just decide to give Marvin Lewis a 2-year extension.
Oh. Hey, we fired every one of our coaches except our head coach and our general manager. So,
and Aaron Rodgers.
No, we're not firing Aaron Rodgers.
You need to just put Aaron Rodgers in a bubble and just never let him get hurt. And then the Packers are either like an NFC Championship game contender when he's not hurt, or suddenly they're like, you can just forget about them. They're 7-9.
All right, says the guy whose quarterback is probably going to miss part of next year, too, and the other guy who is starting Jay goddamn Cutler.
No one is more upset about a team's quarterback situation than I am. I'm very sad.
All right, go to bed, Dave.
I'm going to go to bed. All right.
Thanks for coming on, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're down to four now, and let's go over to Painted. Painted, what is your number four?
My number four is fixing territory battle and territory war cadences, right? Basically, right now, as everybody knows, we're only going to see one light side and one dark side territory battle per month. And in addition to like all the complaints about what that means in terms of your guild currency and all that kind of stuff, for me, I think what that unintentionally has done is basically killed farming for the for the actual for the characters that are only available in territory battles. You know,
wait,
obviously
don't
I talked about.
Wait a minute. Yeah, don't we actually have two Rebel Assaults and one Empire Retaliation this month?
We have.
It goes into February.
Yeah, the Rebel Assault is like starts the last day.
Yeah. So it's on the calendar, but it's not really. I mean, you know, it's technically correct, but I feel like it's against the spirit of the law, right? And so for me, it's like it gets rid of. You know, I don't really care so much about Rolo Shard particularly, but I really want. Everybody else really wants Imperial Probe Droid. That's going to take forever, you know, because we're essentially looking at it the same way we're getting Wicket and Talzin once a month. We're probably only getting those two characters once a month. And then, go ahead.
It's 50 shards every time, so that means 6 months and you got it, right?
Yeah, yeah, if everyone can get it. I think, for me, the issue is bigger, not the
six
Imperial...
6.5 months, right?
Yeah, it's not the Imperial Probe Droid and the Rolo. I think it severely diminishes the chances of farming Hoda and Wampa shards.
Hold on. Here's another one. Didn't it take about 6 months for people to get their General Kenobis?
It did, but I think it's regular. I mean, yes. I mean, I don't disagree. I think part of the problem, and I mean, I think this is the difference to a certain extent between really high-end guilds like Dark Lords, like Rebel Force Yavin, where, you know, obviously Rebel Force is one guild, but they have specific guilds that are higher end. You know, Dathomir, we're kind of middle of the road. We're 85 million GP. As I mentioned, we don't really force farms, which is, it's our decision to do that. So I'm not, you know, it's hard to complain about that. But I guess my issue with the territory battle cadence problem is, okay, I'm a very light spender, right? I don't spend a lot of money in this game, and I spend way less money in this game now that they've gotten rid of the, the crystal booster packs, you know, the month-long thing.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what I'm looking at is I'm sitting on all this gear all the time that I have to keep available for arenas, right? And so when I look at my troopers, yeah, I could dump my gear on my troopers and have a great trooper team, but I'm not going to use it that often, really, right? And so when we're talking about, like, really finite resource management, by not having them very often, I mean, when we first had the light side territory battle drop, everybody immediately went, you know, very hard at Phoenix, very hard at certain comps that were specifically needed, right, getting you know, Snolo and all that other kind of stuff ready to go. I feel like by only having one per month, you're really depressing desire to go in on specific teams, like bounty hunters. My bounty hunters outside of Boba are still not that great because I'm basically just waiting at this point for my bounty hunter rework so I have characters that I care about to invest in that I think are actually going to be good outside of just one battle.
I agree to the most extent. I would like to see more territory battles and less territory wars, is basically how I see it. Because I like the rewards from territory battles more than I do for territory wars. That's me personally. And it's just, it's hard. It's almost impossible for them to time it out because you have the light side and the dark side now both. To time it out how everyone wants without it just running concurrently back to back all the time.
I mean, I'm also, my other concern is, right, like, I think that I agree with Dave. I think it's more likely that we're gonna see more territory battles than we are gonna see more raids. And okay, I'm interested in rolling out new territory battles that are not, you know, Empire and Rebel based. But when they do that, okay, now are we only gonna see the Rebel light side, you know, once every 6 weeks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, it really depreciates what, like, my Phoenix is worth, what my trooper team is worth, where my, right? And so it becomes harder to justify for light spenders and free-to-play players to go really hard on those teams to do really well because it makes you even more of a generalist of trying to figure out, you know, I need teams that do well in all of these places. And so by, like, forced farming of just the bounty hunter faction or just the trooper faction, it becomes more difficult for those players to, like, to enjoy them. And maybe that's just, you know, wishing that things were easier. I don't know. But I'd rather have it be more important to be good in those places. The same way, as Coleman was saying, when you three-star a territory and you're locked out, you start to care about it less, right? I want to be able to set personal records every time about how many waves I clear so that I know that I'm getting better.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I think there's a general consensus that there's a general consensus that people want more, but it's hard to figure out how to get that across to everyone in the right way. And I think there's a fine line there, and I think they're on the right path. I really do. I think they're on the right path to it. It might need some tweaking, but you can only tweak it once a month at this point. So, all right, cool. You guys, Grande, Coleman, you guys have anything to add?
The schedule says subject to change right at the top.
Yeah.
The calendar says subject to change, right?
Yeah, and it can change. And we've seen it change. That's for sure.
It's guaranteed it's not going to stay.
Yeah.
By the end of the month, it's not going to look like it did on the first of the month.
No.
No.
Okay. My number four, and to the surprise of... no. Is I want a Dark Side Heroes journey.
I have an idea for this, though.
Yeah, so do I. I'm going to say mine first because it's my number four, Coleman. Quit trying to butt in on me. Don't be that guy. I want Anakin Skywalker to turn into Vader. I want that transition.
Okay.
You require Anakin Skywalker, you know, the characters from around there to unlock the new Vader. Stuff like that. That's what I want. It takes some getting some weird tweaks, probably, because you'd have to have him plus some other dark side. So I don't know exactly who would go into it, but I want that transition.
Okay.
Who did you have in mind?
A villain. Since we're doing the whole movie thing, too, with this, I figure it's pretty safe to do this.
No movie spoilers, though.
We're talking about the freaking movie later.
If you haven't seen the movie by now, it's after the freaking first, man.
Yeah. Okay.
The movie's been out for 2
All right, let's at least say this. Days. We're going to talk about the movie spoiler here real quick. So,
we're going to talk about it. Yeah, yeah.
So from here on out, consider...
You're listening to a podcast, and you're listening to a game, and you're playing a game that costs real money, and you haven't gone and seen the highest grossing movie of 2018 at this point, you might want to...
Here's the real thing, right? Like, 4 weeks ago tonight, the movie premiered. 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. All right. We'll just put out the disclaimer. We'll put out the disclaimer that we're talking about the movie.
Hey, spoiler, Han shot first.
Ooh, you son of a bitch.
Oh, I think the game already ruined that for us.
I saw The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, but I haven't seen any of the other ones. Now you just spoiled
it. Damn you. I haven't even looked at Han Solo's abilities yet. Damn you!
Yeah, be like, that's where it comes from. Stupid me.
Spoiler: the 25th anniversary edition, Greedo shot first.
We're gonna be like, wait, what?
What is going on here? Okay. Who do you think it's gonna be?
Supreme Leader Kylo Ren.
Is the game
ready for a third Is Kylo the new Han?
We have four Hans.
Yes.
We could have three of his sons.
Han has been in
don't you think,
three and a half movies, that, though.
And Kylo Ren is about to be in three.
Well, but Han's about getting ready to be in four and a half movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Kru is that. That's the problem. Right, like he should have been the direct counter to JTR and isn't.
Yeah.
Right, and that would have been badass. But
so painted, you got a dark side villain's journey.
I mean, for me, that really plays into my number three, which is I want the Vader rework. Right, like that's what I want, and to me, that comes at the same time as we finally get Dr. Aphra, Triple Zero, and BT.
Oh, right? That would...
God,
so if you,
I want Dr. Aphra so bad.
I
want that so bad. Like, basically, to me, if you want to do the Vader, if you want to do the Vader's journey, what I think you do actually to make this really worthwhile is you do a whole thing of his entire life, right? So you basically have his fall. You have, like, you know, the Anakin fall, right? That's one stage, right? You go into the time directly preceding, like he's in the suit already, and he's A New Hope hasn't happened yet, right? Then you go into like the period right between A New Hope and Empire, and you introduced Aphra, Triple Zero, and BT. There's your Force Farm. Those are your veterans, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that fit in there, right? Then you go for like the finale in Jedi or something like that, where he dies to Luke, right? You know, with Luke. So I feel like if you paint it as like you don't specify like it's just following one movie the way that like our other heroes' journeys have so far, and you just say this is Vader, he's going to follow everything, and you're not just going to need 5 characters, you're going to need 10 characters or something like that. There's a way to have to rework Vader, a character that everybody has, but still get what CG wants, which is like all these Force Farms and releasing more characters and getting more involvement. So I feel like you can have both sides work, right, and just end up with a reworked Vader and an amazing, like, the entire, all of the trilogies, all of the lore, all of everything.
I think it's going to be a Darkseid Varys. That's
Oh, God, Darkseid Varys.
That might... I don't know if that's...
Well, now you're going to have to put out 2 spoilers, because Clone Wars...
Yeah, have you seen Clone Wars?
Yeah. Clone Wars has been out for 4 weeks, too, tonight, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do another Palpatine, because we really already have 2 of those. What are you going to do?
You could do Spider Leg Maul.
You talk about that now, but that would be a huge thing.
You know what they could do is we're talking about the movie. You could take the top half of Maul and the bottom half of Snoke and make one full
wrong.
Too far.
That's okay. Number 3.
Number 3. All right. So we got painted number 3 of the Vader rework.
Right. Vader, Dr. Aphra, Triple Zero, BT. Don't forget those 3. They're non-negotiable. I have to have them.
Okay. That was painted as number 3. We'll go in reverse. Grande, what is your number 3?
My number 3.
I bet you it's super detailed.
No. This is the only one that's not super detailed. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Return of the Jedi, Jedi Luke.
Why would you do that?
I literally...
No.
Yes, I was like, come on, man. Can we get black-suited Luke Skywalker? You know,
no, it's too soon. It's too soon.
Don't we need a Jedi Luke first?
Well, I mean, that would be Jedi Luke.
Yeah.
That is Jedi Luke.
Kind of Jedi Luke.
That would be the Jedi Luke, right? I mean, we have a Jedi Luke. That's the one.
Like, we can't have an old man Luke before Jedi Luke.
You mean spoiler alert, Milk and Mama Jedi Luke? Yeah, we're not gonna get Milk and Mama Jedi Luke before we get Return of the Jedi Jedi Luke.
I mean, sure.
Okay,
we'll go with sure. I still think we'd get a mix in between those between CLS.
What would be between the two? Like, what clothes would he wear? He's only got one arm. I mean, we're gonna get one arm Luke, and then we're gonna get Return of the Jedi Luke.
We're talking a lot about in the past like 5 minutes about Star Wars characters who are missing body parts. Yeah, limbs. That's a little weird.
Okay, right. Anyway, Jedi Luke is my number 3.
All right. Coleman, what's your number 3?
You might not know him, but Rook.
Rook.
Oh wow, nice. I'm into that.
And he's Thrawn's right hand man. He is Thrawn's assassin. You know, he'll have synergies if he's on the Empire team, especially with Thrawn. But I think it'd be really interesting now that he's canon by Rebels.
Which came out like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, so we're 4 weeks into that. But, you know, the Nogri, Rook, play Empire Synergy, Thrawn Synergy, I think it'd be really cool to have him in there.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd be all over that.
Okay. My number three, to no one's surprise at all, because this is not actually my number one. My number three is I want Hondo.
Okay.
There's two things I want more than Hondo in the game. I will say that. So that's actually kind of surprising. But number three is I want Hondo. Plain and simple.
His number one must be like larger reproductive organs.
I
feel like he's running out of ideas now.
Be like, I need larger genitalia. And $1 million in some sort of Victoria's Secrets model.
Yeah.
And then comes Hondo.
And a genie in a bottle.
I want three more wishes. So, okay. We'll start with this. Keep going with this reverse order. Paint it. What is your number two?
All right. My number two is... basically, I want something in place of Galactic War got nerfed, right? That's where I tested out a lot of teams. So what I really want is intra-guild or ally sandbox, right? I want to be able to set a number of teams, use the squad creator, right, to build some teams that either my allies or my guildmates, whichever, can fight against, right? And I feel like, all right, you got there, it's CG, we need to find some way to monetize this, we need to figure out how we're going to do this, it can't be truly unlimited, so I got two ideas. One, you know, the cheaper way, use sim tickets, right, so in place of simming a battle, you know, you can simulate a fight with one of your allies or guildmates, right? And the other one is using crystals, either, you know, 10 per fight, or 50 for 5 fights, or something like that. Because my main problem is, like, there's teams like the Ewoks, right? Essentially, I get to use them 4 times a month, right? I got 3 territory wars where I can use them on offense, and I've got the actual Ewok raid. I'm not going to use them anywhere else, basically. I mean, technically, I can use them in Galactic War, but I'm just going to run them over.
Right.
Well, pardon me, an event. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, but if I use them in Galactic War, they just wipe the floor with those teams, right? So it's basically not competitive. It's not fun. Galactic War for endgame players at this point is I want to be able to sim that, right? So I think that, you know, it'd be really fun. Everybody's always wanted it. I think there are lots of ways to do it, especially now with, like, all different territory war mechanics. Let's make it happen. I want that in 2018.
That is actually my number two as well.
So to piggyback off of that a little bit, I feel like Galactic War should have a hard mode and an easy mode. And hard mode, you get more rewards, but you have to work harder, and it was like the old way. And the easy mode is like it is now, and you don't get the higher rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And can I piggyback off that a little bit more?
Yeah.
Include ships in it somehow. You know, it's a Galactic War.
Boo.
Include maybe a ship battle or two.
Boo.
Predictable. Predictable, Ednar.
I think you will be surprised, my good sir. So, but I mean, I think Galactic War, wasn't there something data mined a while back about a new, like, ship currency type thing?
Oh, man, that's way back in
that's
the day.
Way back.
That,
like,
was in May, April or May. And it wasn't even data mined. There was actually people, like, in our
with
guild
screenshots.
That actually saw the energy show up.
Yeah, that could be something, like a ship Galactic War, where you only have, like, 10 ships. And you have to get through the whole thing.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
So, that would be. But I my number two was a sandbox. I want a sandbox to test out teams. And
I mean, I just... Ednar and I are in the same ship arena, right? I really want to beat your ass all the time, Ednar. And you're not on my level, right? And so if we had a sandbox, I could just go in there once a day and be like, all right, I still own Ednar. I still own him in all phases, right? I feel Dick. Like that would make me happy.
Oh, that's so awesome. You know, I actually share an arena server and a ship server with my twin and my first and oldest friend in the game. You believe that? Reggae Dragon. You Reggae Dragon 22 on YouTube, and I, both YouTubers, both, and we both share the same server, and we're both in the same guild. So it's and we both fight for rank one every day. So it's it is quite enjoyable. I've had a sandbox mode for quite some time.
Yes. You lucky little.
That's what I want. I want that.
Yeah.
So all right, we know me and Paint it's Grande. What's your number two?
My number two is better mod tool management. The ability to remove mods as a group, the ability to sort mods better, the ability to see the secondaries without having to go to the cell screen, the ability to save sets, just like you can save squad sets. We need to have a revamp on how mods are managed in this game so that I don't have to use a secondary source like SWGOH.GG or something like that in order to sort mods. I want to be able to sort mods in game, on characters, off characters, and do it all from within the game on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Better mod.
Yeah. I need that so badly because I just don't want to put the time in to go swapping around mods all day long.
I have every character except one unlocked, and I will have that last character unlocked here in a couple of days. And I have every character modded as best as I possibly can. Every character down to cup modded with correct set bonuses. And I will tell you, to do that, the original time took me over 3.5 hours.
Yeah, well, it's going to be worth it come Territory Wars, because I think it was on your YouTube show yesterday where it was you have a squad that's two girls, one cup.
Oh my gosh! So,
oh god,
yes, we have all
flashbacks to the first time I saw that.
We have all kinds of squads that my team in Dark Lords has created. They are amazing teams, and of course, they have named them all, and they have named them all for me. Two girls and one ... You get it? My bounty hunter probe. I tap that. Grande touched me in my bathing suit area. They have all different kinds of names. They have named them all, and most of them are ways to troll me, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yes. Fair enough. I'm just, yeah. Me and Coleman have talked about Territory Wars, and he's told me about like some of the teams you guys, defenses you guys have faced. And I'm just
it's sick, dude. It is sick. It is so freaking awesome.
I'm like, hey.
I'm so pumped for Territory Wars. I don't even care that the rewards between one and two are different. It's just about a game mode that we get to play, and the whole guild just goes ape over. I mean,
I got to beat somebody last week who were in a resistance team with a R2-D2 lead.
Ooh.
Yeah, It was quite easy. I just saw them like somebody misclicked something here.
There might be an edit tab, like, you know, an edit button. Yeah. Right? If you have 24 hours to set your stuff, it might be okay to be like, all right, I made a mistake there.
Oh my gosh. We need non-locked combat missions, and we need to be able to go in as the individual. I need to be able to go on Discord and be like, hey, bro, that team, not quite so good. Why don't you switch these couple of characters?
So
accidentally didn't have Hera in the leadership position on your Phoenix Wall team. Oops. Go fix that.
Yeah. By the way, the only Rogue One that has a leader is Jen. It's not Chirrut. I've never seen that, but damn, that would be terrible.
Or you could go ahead and remove defensive teams.
You could be like, try again. You just need, like, a try again. That, like, officers need, like, a big try again button, right? We're like, that's not going to work. Try again. Try again.
That's in the in-game command. Try again.
It's just, they log in, and there's a giant emoji of a facepalm. Been like, oh, I done screwed up.
You get an inbox message. Your guild leadership has asked you to try again.
And this is reason number 7,000 why we will never have any decision-making processes at SWGOH. Because we would implement things like this.
Try again, bud.
You suck. You need to go look at this again.
Try again. Roger, roger.
and this message you couldn't delete. Oh, wait, no. You can't delete them anyway. So.
Oh, run, they found you.
They're calling my song. I gotta go, guys.
Get your shivs. Get your shivs ready. Okay, Coleman, what is your number two?
Okay. On a more serious note,
is it something? Okay. I was going to say, is it something that, you know, you want for yourself and no one else?
Actually. Hold on a minute. A Death Trooper Zeta rework saying Imperial officers and an Imperial officer tag, along with, hold on. No, General Hux.
Okay, I was going to be like, what's coming next? General Hux. I think everyone agrees he's going to be in the game sooner rather than later.
He's got to be now.
Like, with that was my guess, because one thing we didn't say, some of the news that came out, the login characters this month, Finn and Poe. So you know you're going to need resistance or something. If it's another legendary, most likely it's going to be Hux.
Yeah, because Unmasked Kylo's already out.
And you can't get half a Snoke. Oh, too soon?
No, not too soon.
Not too soon. I think he's going to be out within a month.
Yeah. I will say it will bum me out a little tiny bit if Hux is better than crew. Right?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like crew, like, you know, we'll get into the movie, right? But he's awesome in the new movie. I mean, he is my favorite part of the new movie completely.
Yeah.
And
like,
it's going to be tough to say that there's a different First Order character that's better than what he should be.
Yeah. We'll get into that later in a second. But yeah, definitely Kylo Ren was highlighted that movie for me.
Mm-hmm. Kylo Ren.
All right, so we will go down to drum. We'll go to number ones. So Painted, what is your number one?
Oh, you know exactly.
I know exactly what it is.
If you search your heart, oh my fucking god!
Oh, I know what it is.
Yep.
Six fucking tickets. Jesus Christ! Six fucking tickets.
Hashtag I did my 600.
Oh.
I mean, look, we've. On the borders of all of our different 1 through 5, there's definitely been like, hey, the try again button, shit like that. Like, cool. Yes, we need way more different officer tools, and it'd be great if officers could, you know, could update the banner. Whatever the fuck, fix tickets. I'm so sick of tickets. I've been doing tickets, I feel like, my whole life. I'm done with them. Just fix them. It's so easy. Fix them.
There's nothing I can add because I completely agree. Like, I became an officer because he got sick of doing tickets, so I went to help him.
I feel like I've gone through so many. I mean, our current officer crew is amazing, and I love you guys. Shout out to Trev, Malkar. You know, you guys, obviously Ednar, Admiral Dell, I guess.
whatever. Yeah. But
I don't get a shout out. Like,
you're not an officer anymore. You left the guild.
You're a former officer. I love you. I love you. You know, you do great work. But you went on to greener pastures. I understand. I've forgiven. But you're not counting tickets for me right now. Is what I'm saying.
you're not counting tickets for me right now.
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. And I thought I had a system down by just putting equals plus 600. And
that's not a good system.
Look, that's a terrible fucking system, and we talked about that. And now
I got caught.
Your work. Yeah. Teacher brings out red pen, gives a big fat F. Right.
Okay. So tickets. Yeah, I'm like, I was gonna put tickets on my top five, but I'm like, that's gonna be Painted's number one. Why should I bring this up? So. Yeah. Okay. Grande, what is your number one?
I have a 2-for-1. This is a 2-for-1. All right? We're going to start with the bottom half. We're going to go to the top half. All right?
We're talking about Snoke again?
No.
We're talking about Maul now.
Oh, Maul. Oh. Got it.
Yeah.
So the bottom half of my number one is a new raid with ships and characters involved.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
And in order to do the new raid with ships and characters, we have to fix the goddamn 600.
Oh, man, this podcast is brought to you by officers around the world.
And I think we have the name of the episode. I need my 600. Oh, see, Grande, Coleman, we're going to get to you last, because Grande, that is my exact number one.
Oh, snap.
Okay. I've talked about this previously. I want a new raid with half ships, half, character fighting, and I want it to be the Death Star raid.
I was going to say Starkiller Base to go off your point of making, like, a Order resistance rate that I think Dave said.
Which would be fine too. I think Death Star is probably more iconic.
Yeah.
Do the Death Star raid. And so that was my number one. That's what I want. But to do that, they have to, I hate to say this, they have to get rid of the Rancor. Because
You just sim it. Right, like I feel like there's like need to be certain win conditions for each raid that and for that matter, if we don't get hard easy mode for Galactic War, same thing there. If you can solo it X number of times, right, you get an achievement that unlocks the ability to sim it. The same way they do with like the mythic events now, when you beat the first tier, you can sim it. You need Rancor to exist because you need the gear out of it. I just don't want to do it again.
Yeah, it's just, it becomes one of those things. It's one more thing added on to the officers that they have to keep track of. Be like, okay, I got to launch this raid this day, this raid this day, this raid this day. Now we got territory battles. Now we got territory wars. All right, now I need to do the three raids again. Eventually, it's going to be.
Someone hit the raid early.
Yeah, like, eventually it's going to get to be too much. And they're going to have to, I don't want to say dumb down, but put Raid Han Shard somewhere else. The gear's already pretty easy enough to get. But almost not disable the raid, but give your guild chances to get the stuff in there elsewhere in the game and kind of make the Rancor obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, give me some Rancor. I don't want to make the Rancor obsolete. I want to do it every time. I never miss a raid.
But if there was,
plus freaking raids, I don't want. Don't delete nothing. Give me all my raids. Nothing is obsolete. Don't remove anything. Don't do anything.
But if you keep adding raids, you can't keep all the raids relevant.
Yep, you sure can. You can keep them all. Absolutely, you sure can. Keep every raid. Oh
God, that's so many raids.
Soon, you know what? Suck it up.
Wagaga is gonna have to pay me to play the game, because I'm going to lose my full-time job.
Bro, just put in a zero and let somebody else do it for you. It's fine. You'll get full pieces down at rank 32. Just yeah, true. Give me a raid.
Yeah. I just really want a Death Star raid. The Death Star raid was my number one. So that's all I really want. Did you have an idea of another?
What's the reward for Death Star raid? Is it Red 5? Like, is it a ship?
I think it would be a ship.
Mm-hmm. And we still need a pilot Luke, right?
Yeah.
Right? We still need a pilot Luke.
And then you get different pieces of hardware for the ships.
Ooh,
that's good. That's a good one.
You could do pilot Luke and...
No, you could do OG Millennium Falcon.
You could do OG, flown by Lando and that like Beastie Boys song named guy. What's his name? That's so wrong. Neonub? By the way. There it is, Neonub, which is basically a song spelled.
Okay,
backwards.
Not that OG. We're gonna go, but then they have to add in, you know, a different Chewbacca.
Well, we're going to get pork eating Chewbacca at some point, right?
Yeah. Let's not start on porks.
Tastes like chicken.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. Thanks to KFP. Chewbacca having a freaking soul.
Yeah. KFP. Kentucky Fried Pork.
But yeah, no, I think the reward could be an OG, the original Falcon. So, because you have the Han, you just need the Chewbacca, and you can release him whenever.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my number one, as well as Grande's number one. So, Grande, did you have another raid you had in mind?
You know, it would make sense that we would do a Death Star type raid. That would make the most sense. You could also do you could do a First Order versus Resistance raid. You could do a Resistance versus First Order raid from the last movie, mm-hmm. where the reward is Old Man Luke. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities, yeah. Right?
I was thinking from this new movie, more like a territory battle with Crate.
You could do Crate, where the first time you play it, you play it as light side, you play it as Resistance. The next time you play it as First Order, and the rewards are every time you do it on Resistance. You get old man Keanu Reeves Matrix, you know, I'm gonna limbo
shirtless Kylo. Shirtless Kylo.
And then for dark side, you know, First Order side, you get like, oh, I don't know, Hux maybe, or maybe you
or
get
DJ.
You could do whatever, right? You could get DJ. Yeah. You could get Phasma with a cape and a stick. We all know that people with sticks are really powerful in this game, so you can get Phasma with a stick, because we need more people with sticks in this game.
Yeah, I guess a stick in this game hits harder than, you know, guns
or lightsabers.
Yeah.
So, all right, Coleman, last number one.
All right, I got two parts to this.
Oh God, this is going to be long.
Number one. Fix 600 tickets right now. Because that shit's bull. It's been an issue since, like, day one. Yeah. We've killed it enough.
It can't. It just, you know, it is the bane of my fucking existence in this game. The only thing I hate about this game, to be honest... There are things that annoy me occasionally. There's only one thing I hate.
It's 600 tickets.
It's 600 tickets.
Yeah. It's counting tickets.
All right, what's your other number one?
Give Emperor Palpatine his freaking Zetas.
Yeah.
Approved.
Yeah. I am tired of a useless Emperor when a Commander Luke that hasn't even had his hand cut off yet is more powerful than an Emperor.
Do you have ideas for his Zetas?
His unique. When he goes into battle, he grants you 600 tickets.
The first requirement in Dathomir history.
I did really like, there's an idea that's been floating around forever, I feel like, on Reddit, that, you know, his Zeta activates all Empire leaderships under his commands. right? So, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't do anything except if you ran like, you know, the management staff of Empire, suddenly they're amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think, what was this? A new unique to where his ability would add more defense or health or something to make him more survivable. Because one hit from Luke or Han, he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a squish ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still love him, but like I don't like putting him out there because he dies.
His AoE could add a debuff as well.
Then his shock could kill.
Oh, yeah.
Because, or whatever, I forget what it's called now. I have a mind blank.
What? His shock? Like the ability he uses?
Yeah, the ability that says this thing cannot kill or cannot defeat an opponent.
Yeah, that's his shock.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just simple stuff like that.
Yeah, his unique could use some work, because his unique is he does deal special damage to all shocked enemies, and then deals special damage to all Jedi and Rebel enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even put his AoE, his power of the dark side, put shock on people. That could be a Zeta too.
Yeah.
Like, have, like, a 75% chance to inflict shock as well as stun.
Even inflict shock, kind of like a reverse of what BBA's secret intel does.
Non-dispellable shock.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, there you go. That's good.
Yeah, I like it.
So, I don't remember off the top of my head, but shock, basically, the only thing it doesn't do is daze, right? Like, cause it does prevent, like, it doesn't prevent a counter, but it'll prevent... Basically, it's bit, you know, a bunch of other things, right?
It'll prevent buff, healing.
Buff block and healing. What else? Anything else?
I think it's buff block and heal immunity.
I think one thing it should also do is power of the dark side is AoE, is target character gets ability block. Because then that would also take care of the, all right, well, I'm just going to run a cleanse team.
Mm-hmm. Well, even though... If it's locked, though, it doesn't matter.
If you want a shot, let's say a Rex lead, then he can't use his dispel.
If shock is locked, it can't be dispelled.
Oh yeah,
but the flip side problem with that is that since they just created JTR or RTJ, whatever
PT Ray on this show.
PT Ray?
Yes.
Ray.
It's PT Ray, and there's discussion
body
on
training,
what...
Body training Ray.
We have body Porg Tanner. Let's see. Porg Taster Ray? I forgot the other ones. I don't know. Our Discord's full.
It does eat her lunch, right? Because her whole thing is the undispellable healing, right? Healing immunity. So if it's undispellable shock, which... Shock does multiple things. It immediately becomes a better undispellable than Raze, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There's so many things they could do for Zetas for him. And all it needs is minor tweaking, and he'll be beastly.
Just make him tankier, whatever ability he gets.
Yeah. Oh. For sure. So, all right, that is our top five, and this is not even the end of the episode. I told you we have a crazy episode coming out today. So, our next part of the episode is we are going to talk about the movie, and this is kind of going to be just a talk back and forth, some questions here or there, but we're just going to talk about the movie, our thoughts, what we think could improve, what we could see from the movie into the game, stuff like that. So, first off, I want to get all your guys' opinion on what you saw of the movie and how many times you saw it. So, Coleman, what was your thoughts on the movie?
Actually, I kind of liked it, aside from a few parts, but overall, I thought I kind of liked it.
Yeah. How many times have you seen it?
Twice
now?
Because that's all the time I've had. Okay. Busy lately.
Well, I mean, you're busy eating pineapple.
True.
So then, Grande, what do you think of it?
I've seen it once, and I saw it with the whole fam Danley. We all went together, me and my three progeny and my beautiful wife, and we saw it at a great theater. We had a great time. I will tell you that seeing it from my perspective and seeing it from, you know, a 6, 9, and 12-year-old's perspective gave me a lot more enjoyment on the film than I thought I would have liked. I will tell you, they did not particularly care for Porgs. However, they were enamored, and I mean enamored, with the salt crystal creatures.
Okay.
Thought those things were the coolest ever, and I'll tell you where that comes from. That comes from watching the cartoon series Rebels with the wolves. And they think the wolves I think it's called the Lethal Wolf in the in the cartoon. They think that that wolf is the coolest thing ever, and they think that the crystal kind of foxes, I guess we'll call them, were really enjoyable. They all three of them kind of perked up from their seats when they saw those.
Okay.
Anyway, that's, you know, it's different whenever you see it with a little kid. So for one of these kids, it was their first Star Wars movie in a theater.
Ooh, that's a huge deal.
Oh, it's a big deal, right? So for the one of my kids that's probably the most excited about Star Wars, it was his first time watching a Star Wars movie in a theater. So pretty cool. Nice. Pretty cool. Definitely a good experience.
Yeah.
So Painted, how was your experience? Because you work in the movie industry, so you are often quite critical of movies. as I've learned.
Yes, we switch roles. Where you're negative on the game at times, I've talked you from the edge. I have strong opinions when it comes to films, usually. I liked it. I saw it twice. I really, really, really did not like The Force Awakens very much. I mean, I acknowledge that it has some really good performances, some charismatic actors. It looks beautiful. It is, you know, pretty solid story-wise, except for that third act that just kind of falls apart. You know, I think there's some major problems with that script in Force Awakens, so I was really happy to really enjoy The Last Jedi a lot more. And I liked it better the second time I saw it. I mean, I liked it the first time I saw it, but knowing the story the second time around actually made me really appreciate more that was going on.
Okay. Now, I've seen it twice. The second time I saw it was on vacation, and I took my sister with me, who has never seen a Star Wars movie before.
Ever before, or just not in a theater?
Never. She has not seen. No. She knows. I mean, she's.
Is she 12 and from Cambodia?
No. She knows, like, she knows Vader's Luke's father. She knows, like, the social, like, plot points of the previous movies. Because it's impossible to avoid that kind of stuff. She's just, like, my family, we didn't grow up as movie people. Like, my parents didn't take us to movies. We had to go see movies on our own. And so she was never like, I'm going to go see Star Wars. So she has never been into it. And then I made her go. And the amount, it made it like watching, like Grande, you were saying, you were watching it with your kids. The amount of questions you probably get from them afterwards makes you enjoy it more because you know you can answer it and you can get them farther into it. I spent probably 2 hours after the movie with my sister with her just asking me questions. And that actually made it so much better.
Yeah.
The second time I saw it, like when I first saw it, I gave it about a a B. B minus.
I think you gave it a B minus.
B minus, yeah. The second time I saw
it. The more you thought about it, the more you were like, oh, maybe it's a C minus.
Yeah, then I saw it a second time.
24 hours.
Yeah, and I saw it a second time. I was much more pleased with the movie. I really was. The second time I saw it around. I think the first time I saw it, the things that bothered me really bothered me. And I think everyone... All right, so everyone... I haven't talked to one person who says this hasn't bothered them, but Superman Leia. I'm sorry. Now what...
Mary Poppins
Leia. Okay.
When I saw that, I instantly, shot back to Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and went like, I'm Mary Poppins, yo!
Like, that is one of those scenes where I was like... What is this shit? Really?
Yeah.
All right, question for the crew. How many of you guys have read a lot of the Expanded Universe? Or any of the Expanded Universe novels?
A little bit of it.
I have not.
So, for me, right, that moment is just another... It's another in an example of a bunch of different writing decisions that happened both over Force Awakens and Last Jedi, where they're taking things from the expanded universe that had a lot of time to develop, right? Like, you know, the history of Leia becoming a Jedi and this and that, the other, like not becoming a Jedi, but having, you know, be Force sensitive and all these other kinds of things, right? There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the expanded universe that you have time to build up to it, and it's like they're taking some kind of crib notes from that and then incorporating that into the new stuff, where I feel like it takes – if for me, I am like – I didn't have a problem with that scene because I'm like, oh, they're riffing on this other thing that's, you know, kind of from the novels a little bit. I can kind of see where they're – right? But if it's out of the blue – that's what I think is tough.
Like, right? the problem I had with it was there was always that hint that she was Force sensitive. She's never actually been Force sensitive on screen before.
Yes, she has.
She's sensed things, yes. But she's never used the Force.
So she has sensed things.
Yeah, so it's always kind of been there, like, she's Force sensitive, but she's never used the Force. Outside of sensing.
You know, it's, I mean, here's the plot part that's silly to me, right? Luke basically mind teleports from, the home world of all Jedi, sitting on top of some Jedi shrine and dies from it. Leia gets blown up, frick up by one of the most powerful ships in the game. And or in the movie, in the series,
one of the most
right? And manages to Mary Poppins her way to safety. But not only does she Mary Poppins her way to safety, but then she spends the rest of the movie being sick until the end when she's not sick and she comes back and she has a nice little tear jerk moment. I feel like that this is a little it's just too, wrapped up with a nice, neat little bow, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the part about it that kind of, it's like they missed the opportunity to have a real tearjerker moment, and then they manufactured another one for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, because they really could have made a tearjerker moment with Carrie Fisher passing.
Yep.
And that whole, farewell, sayonara...
They missed the opportunity, and then they manufactured one. That's the problem.
I think their hands were tied a little bit in terms of, you know, the timing and everything. And I'm not saying – I don't disagree that, they missed an opportunity in the original shoot. But I feel like in order to retroactively make that the point at which she dies, right, think about all the reshoots that would have to happen and the millions and millions and millions of dollars. Like, I can understand why they kind of just decided to roll with it and now have this giant problem lurking.
Oh, she's gonna die in the scroll,
right,
of the next movie.
I'm not convinced because they've already proven – I mean, they brought back Tarkin.
They already said they're not going to be bringing her back CG. That's right. Already been said. So, sure, like, she's not going to be in the next movie.
Yeah. All right. It's tough. I mean, because I see it both ways, because I'm, like, looking at it, and I'm like, all of the different ways you have to remove her and reshoot, man, it would be really tough to change that decision once you've made it, which argues the case, like, why did you make that decision anyway?
Yeah. So one other thing, you guys, Grande, you were talking about that tearjerker moment when, at the end, when Luke and Leia. I actually had a problem with that scene. This is one thing I couldn't get out of my head is, so when he was fighting Kylo, he couldn't be touched because he was just a figment. But he could touch Leia. And he could transport a physical object.
But the physical object disappears, right? So it's.
But it was like he was able to, like, pick it up with his hands, like Kylo was.
And then it disappeared.
Right. But he was able to pick it up. So, like, it's not consistent. Like, you can make contact with some of the stuff, but not all of it.
I mean, like, and this is where I. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead. I was kind of done.
I mean, I think this is like an overriding problem, right? That the Force is super inconsistent throughout all the movies, and it becomes one of those things, you know.
Yeah, we got midichlorians at one point, remember?
Force babies.
It got real bad at one point.
I mean, yep. You can make the argument, like, they're brother and sister, so they have, you know, she sensed things from him before, and, like, that maybe they're not, and then he's the son, and so it's all in the Skywalker family, and that's why they can all touch the dice. Who knows?
Yeah. But,
I mean, mm-hmm. the problem to me is that if you're focusing on that, if that becomes a problem, that means you have larger other problems that are causing you to key in. It's like if you replace... If you notice that the guy's tie was red in one scene and blue in like two shots later, the problem is not the tie. The problem is that, like, it's not a good enough scene, right?
Yeah.
The other thing to mention about this, if we kind of transferred this over to another series, and it almost doesn't matter what series of multiple movies that span generations that spans decades that you talk about, we could notice huge inconsistencies in the 007 saga. Right?
Right,
we could notice huge inconsistencies in the Marvel set of movies, inconsistencies in the Star Trek series of movies. Right, I mean, you could. I mean, all of a sudden now, if you kind of want to get into this, but that's not the real reason why we watch this movie. We watch this movie because it's characters we love, and because it's a universe that we love. And because it has some nostalgia force. It's the same reason why we play this game, right? And we allow a little bit of literary license because we're trying to see a good story, right? And if I look at the overall arching story, was this a good story? My response is yes. And what, in my opinion, is the saving grace of this is Kylo Ren's evolvement as a character and Rey's evolution as a character as well. That's really what 1,000%
percent agreed.
That's really what this movie was about. And when we look at the kind of conflict that goes on with Kylo Ren and the kind of conflict that goes on inside Hermit Luke and the kind of conflict that goes on
I see what you did there.
inside of Rey. And even the conflict that goes on inside of Poe, the conflict that goes on inside of Finn, the conflict that goes on inside of DJ, right? I mean, we're setting ourselves up. This is the middle act, right? This is the middle act of the new, you know, episode version of movies. And we got what we deserved in the second act, which was a bunch of characters that are in flux, that have a change, that needs to happen. Similar in a lot of ways to what we got in Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm. Now, Coleman, we had talked last episode after the show ended about the movie, about what you kind of thought this movie was directed towards. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I remember. It was about Kylo Ren, right?
Yeah. You want to go over what your thoughts on that were?
Yeah, so the first time I watched it, and I still think this right now, is that this... So the first movie was about discovering, okay, here's Rey, here's a girl in the middle of the desert, whatever. But then here you have Kylo Ren and a little backstory. Sorry, that was an interruption. But then you start to see Kylo Ren starting to see his backstory, and he's part of the Skywalker lineage, which is his grandfather. And Rey, with this movie, it's like, oh yeah, your parents are nobody, but we don't really know that. If she's a Kenobi and he's a Skywalker in the sense that he's Anakin Skywalker's grandfather and Luke's nephew, that makes a story about him. And this movie seemed to play out a lot more with Kylo and his character evolution than Rey's was, which Rey, it's like, okay, here, you jumped on an island, you swung around your lightsaber a little bit, and you touched the Force, and now you can move boulders. Like, okay, it took Luke forever to do that.
You brought up something that I want to... Are Rey's parents... Do you guys... Does anybody actually believe Rey's parents are nothings?
I do.
I think they should be.
Yeah.
They really should be, right? I mean, we should get... we don't need to have a continuation. We need to actually have the and Kylo said it, right? The plot here is Kylo's lineage is important. Rey's is not. By the way, they can both still be important people.
Yep.
That's the overarching theme of this, right? You can come from this amazing parentage and this great breeding stock, and you can basically be effectively a child slave, and in the end of the day, you can both become important, right? I mean, this is Queen Victoria meets a Kunta Kinte, right? I mean, that's what this is, and that's okay. We can both be important.
And I think that, to me, that's the problem and the strength of the film, is that the film is really two different films that are strapped together. You've got, you know, the Skywalker story / past and future of the Sith and Jedi. That's one movie, and that's actually, I think, a really great movie. And then the other movie is this kind of Battlestar Galactica Resistance First Order movie that is not that great. I mean, it's fine, but it doesn't have the same kind of stakes. It doesn't have the same kind of logic that applies to it. And ultimately, that's, to me, one of the reasons why that, you know, going back to my stupid tie analogy, like, that's why the Leia-Luke scene falls flatter than it should, because that's the moment where the two movies have to come together, right? Because now we're getting an ending where Luke is finally showing up in the other movie, right? Not the movie where we're talking about Rey and Kylo and Luke and training and past and future. We're talking about literally the survival of this group of people, right? That's been the other movie that's going on. And that's tough. That's like the same reason why it's like people are, I feel like, reacting negatively to like Phasma dying seemingly dying so easily. And, you know, it's just like the stakes are much lower. Even though lots of people are dying, we don't care about the people that are dying. And that was actually my huge problem with Force Awakens, is that the death toll is so massive and we don't care as an audience particularly. Like, it wipes out, like, Starkiller Base wipes out a solar system, right? And we don't really care because we don't know people that are there. We care about Alderaan because we care about Leia. And Leia's right there. She's our perspective character. Her family is dying, right? That's why we care about Alderaan. We don't care about Starkiller Base's atrocities because we don't know anybody there. Like, Leia survived. She wasn't there. It didn't really matter, right? And it's the same kind of problem here, where you've got countless resistance ships that get winnowed down to a small number, but that small number includes basically all of the characters we care about except, you know, Holdo or whatever, right? And that's a story problem.
Yeah, you make a really great point here. It's the same kind of argument that could be made for a lot of other blockbuster movies that have come out recently. I mean, look at the amount of kind of special effects CG that happens in, let's say, some of the Transformer movies, right? Or some mm-hmm. of the other movies like
Man of Steel is a big example,
Yeah. DC, mm-hmm. right? DC movies or Marvel movies, and all these people die, and there's all this carnage, and there's huge buildings fall down, but we don't connect to it on, hey, we don't get that personal kind of connection between this is my big thing, and I'm killing your other big thing, and we're going to talk about it, but at the same time, it's me versus you. I'm hurting you, and see how this pains me whenever this happens. The story is not there. And I think that's what you're saying is we kind of got the flash. We got the flash and the fire, but we didn't get the meat and the potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that to me is why, like, the Rey Kylo stuff. I mean, think about it this way, right? For me, in the first half of the movie, right, before we get to, like, the double dragon scene that's completely kick-ass, the best scenes in that movie are basically people talking to each other, right? That's kind of crazy in a Star Wars movie to have that happen, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
it's not the wonder. Yeah. It's people talk. It's literally this, like, intergalactic FaceTime between Kylo and Rey are the best parts of that first half of the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, which is a good. You could say that that's great. Look at these great performances. Look at this great writing. Or you could say, like, what the hell, Space Casino? You know.
God, don't get me started on the casino.
But we could have exploited this whole Finn versus Phasma thing more. We could have exploited this Finn versus himself or Finn versus Rose as his kind of, inter kind of morals as far as what he really believes in. We could have
Holdo versus Poe.
Oh, God. We could have, Holdo versus Poe. We totally could have. You know, seeing this huge, we could have made us really care about her. And right. I would have loved to have seen us really, you know, I mean, she has this huge scene where she wipes out like half the freaking First Order fleet. And we could have really been sad to see Phasma die and really been sad to see Holdo die. Mm-hmm. Right?
Now, on that though, I am kind of like, if Phasma really is dead, which, in my opinion, she's not. I've read the book. Like, I've read Phasma.
Mm-hmm.
And after reading that, I'm like, there's no way Phasma dies that easily. There's no way they'd kill her off like that.
Yeah, and fair enough. I mean, I think that it's pretty, you know, it is pretty likely that she comes back. But, like, I totally agree. Like, Holdo, that should have been a moment, right? I mean, it is a moment, and it's, like, totally gorgeous. I mean, that... The way that when she hits hyperspace and it's like, holy crap, it's so awesome. In a theater, like, wow.
Yeah.
The flip side is like, I don't care as much as I should care.
Yeah, I didn't care at all. I was like, cool, nice effects.
I mean, the same can kind of also be said, and this was, I've heard this a lot, is Snoke. Like,
right.
It was, his death was kind of like, all right, he's dead, but we knew nothing about him. Like, we still don't know anything really about Snoke.
The funny thing to me is I accept that story beat in a way that I don't with, like, Holdo and Poe and some of the other things in the Resistance side of this movie, you know, because I feel like it's basically super efficiency of just focusing on Kylo, you know? Like, the most efficient way to show Kylo's growth is to have him put one over on his master. Right?
It's how you become a part of the dark side. It's part of the initiation.
But some form of backstory on him, so we know anything about him, would have been.
At the same time, though, it was pretty much the same way with Plagueis at first.
Well, with Palpatine to a certain extent, right?
If
you think back. Like, I think that, you know, we also have these kind of nostalgic view of the source movies that we love so much because we're all of an age where, like, there was a million stories about Palpatine before we You know what I mean? Like, we kind of knew Palpatine's deal in a way that we don't about Snoke. But there will be books coming, I'm sure. There will be other ancillary stuff. And that's kind of the problem right now with Star Wars. Like, that's the other thing I hated about Force Awakens. You know, when Maz says, that's a story for another time. It's like, no, I want to watch this movie. Don't tell me about the comic books. Don't tell me about, like, the branded thing over here. Like, tell me this story, right? And that is a problem when it falls down on the fact that you have to go read other ancillary materials to care about something that's happening in this story.
Okay. So now, what did you guys think of the comedy? And like, this is another one of those big things that I hear is the comedy in the movie. Yay, nay.
We need to have the comedy in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I liked it. The only thing was is the opening scene with Poe and Hux went a bit long.
That I didn't like that part of the comedy. All the other comedy I was fine with.
Yeah,
Hux thing, that they could have gone without
if
that.
If they could have cut fine. Like 15 seconds out of that would have been perfect.
Yeah. get you in the cutting room and be like,
nope. Yeah, this is too long.
A little more. Okay,
too long. Yeah.
I mean, I like it, and I think there's some lists out there, right, that I've been seeing kicking around where, you know, people complained about how contemporary the jokes are in this movie, you know, like whether it's Luke brushing it off or the phone humor. But I feel like there are lists that show, like, you know, we just don't know that there were 70s contemporary jokes because we weren't, you know, adults in the 70s watching A New Hope, you know what I mean? So kind of roll with it.
So, can we talk about the elephant in the room? And that is that the entire movie... No. The entire movie could have been fixed if Finn...
He killed Leia.
If Finn and Rose spent an extra 5 minutes and found a fucking parking spot.
Yeah. Yeah,
like it's not like there's probably a lack of parking spots on the casino planet. Like there's probably valet.
Yeah.
Like, and then they're like, "Oh, all right, we can take our leisurely time, walk around, find the person, not worry about getting arrested." But no, we're gonna park out right in the open on the beach and get in trouble. I'm like, that. I just saw that in the movie. I'm like, what is going on here? There's plenty of parking around.
And I know lots of people have talked about this too, but how do you have a casino planet and not have Lando show up? And not Lando be the guy with the palm flower? Like, that guy was in one shot, and he was just being a baller. And
that was...
Can it be Lando? Come on.
Who was it? It was a celebrity, though.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Oh, God, it wasn't John Hamm. It's the guy who's married to Jennifer Aniston.
That does not help me.
All right, I got to Google this. You three talk amongst yourself while I Google.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the thing is, I know there's been a lot of complaints about Rose. I really liked her a lot. What do you guys think?
I would have liked her character a lot more if she didn't push Finn out of the way of the giant laser drill.
I agree with Coleman. I think it would have been awesome, because it would have been that holy hell moment in the movie.
Where it would have thrown another plot twist, it's like, oh, fuck, what just
like
happened?
Like, Finn just died.
Yeah, right. It's like,
Well, that's about stakes. Right? That's the same, like, you can have, if you had him die, it would be so much more meaningful than all of the people that, the randos that we don't know, we never even saw that got blown up in space.
Yeah.
I don't know. Grande, what was, alright, so I'll ask this now. Alright, Grande, we'll start with you. What was your favorite part of the movie? And I think we're all probably going to have the same answer, if not pretty close.
Oh, man. So my favorite part of the movie absolutely was Rey and Kylo Ren in Snoke's kind of command room, war room, with all of the Praetorian guards.
The throne
room. Double dragon.
To me, that scene was really kind of the climax of that kind of dark side versus light side kind of moment. To me, in my mind, the very end of that scene was a slight letdown, but the but everything from the beginning to about, you know, 7/8 of the way through that scene was perfect.
Okay, Coleman, what was your favorite scene?
Believe it or not, it's close to where Grande's at, but a little bit afterward is when, you know, Kylo Ren goes Darth Vader and they start playing the music, and this part would not have been as big as if it wasn't for the Imperial music playing too. And he's just choking General Hux, just like Darth Vader would.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, I loved that part.
And that look, yes. That look on his face.
Yeah, I was just like, oh fuck. Oh fuck, he just went full on grandpa mode.
Alright, Painted, what was your favorite scene?
Favorite scene or favorite part?
Favorite part.
I guess it's whatever. I mean, because my favorite part, honestly, of the whole thing is Adam Driver, right?
I
think he's awesome. I think he carries the movie. I mean, his performance is, it's super convincing, you know, I mean, in a way that I think he gets to be the person who decides things in this movie, right? Everything flows from like the decisions that he makes, essentially. And so he gets to do the most, but it's also just like, he's so good. Yeah, I don't know. So that, I mean, I love the double dragon scene too. That's amazing. Yeah. But there's weird things about it, right? Like, why is that? If you have a throne room that has like 360 glass into space, why do you have red curtains over that? Like, just questioning.
You should interior decorator.
You kind of want to like be like, I'm in space. Look at how cool this is, right? I don't know. Maybe you get sick of space if you live in it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, mine was I'm with Grande. The throne room fight scene was insane. It really was. Top three scenes in a Star Wars movie for me.
Wow.
Like, it's that, the Luke, I'm your father scene, and then the Vader scene from the end of Rogue One for me.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, those are my top scenes. Like, but like Grande said, like, at the end it was a little weird because I wanted to see what...
It seemed rushed.
Yeah, I wanted to see, like, be like, how did Rey get out? Like, they said Rey got out in Snoke's escape shuttle. I want to see that.
So, I just wanted to see, you know, there are a lot of times where scenes like that are a little rushed, right? I mean, the entire scene between Mace Windu and Emperor Palpatine seemed a little seemed a little rushed as well. So, but there are a lot of scenes that seem rushed. Sometimes it's like the part that I really want to savor sometimes, right? Seems rushed. And that goes for a lot of movies though. So it's okay, right? It happens. It's just you kind of want to see a little bit maybe slower transition in those areas and understand that it takes a little while. But in real life, sometimes stuff happens fast, right?
Yeah.
I think the other problem to me, though, too, is it's partially to blame for being attached to this other storyline, the Resistance storyline, because I feel like they could have easily made this a dual perspective movie where you've got your two leads, you know, Kylo and Rey, and it really just spends time with them, and you don't really spend time with Finn or Poe or Rose or anybody else, right? And then you'd have a movie that, like, you see them both, you know, you see the big flash at the end, you know, when they break the lightsaber and they're both unconscious, and she wakes up first and leaves, right? And you stay with her to get to the Falcon, and then it cuts back and you have the awesome Huck scene. But if you're trying to also wedge in, like, four other perspective characters, that's when you get this like kind of disjointed, because if you're like, well, these guys have been, we've been on these guys for 15 minutes now. We got to get Finn back in here,
yeah.
Right? We got to get, it's, like, what's Poe doing right now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's not like a Game of Thrones thing where you can go episode by episode. This is right. A movie.
Right, exactly. And that's, I mean, partially it's like a detriment because I feel like they want to serve everybody. And in so doing, they kind of cut short some of their best things.
Let's also be honest. We're in some ways, are we over, and I don't mean to, you know, we could make a long story longer, but are we over critiquing, right? We probably are.
Probably.
Of course.
We are over critiquing. And the reason why we're over critiquing is because we have a higher sense that the movies should have better story and better writing than let's say like Rebel, the Rebels cartoon show. Right.
Right. And it doesn't.
And it's cool. But that's
the toughest thing. I totally agree with you. Is like, it, you know, the high points are just as high, but I feel like it's strange to me to think about how great some of those Clone Wars arcs are and how well written they are and how much time they have to do the payoff when we don't have that in like the tentpole. Right.
Yeah. Some of the stuff at the temple got a little old, but I think it's all building up to, at least I hope, a lot of open-ended questions being answered in the last movie. Because there's almost every scene ends with a question that could be answered in the next movie. Like, is Snoke really dead? Because a lot of people don't think he's dead. Is Phasma really dead? How did the books from the tree get into the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, and some of that stuff I don't even know if we need to answer. I don't know. I mean, that seems a little... I just want to, you know... I just want to kind of wait and see, you know? I don't want to... I mean, Snoke obviously wasn't Mace Windu.
Hey, we don't know. We don't know if Mace is dead.
Oh my gosh! Pedro for president. Come on, man.
Hey, all right. So an honest question: have we seen the last of DJ?
No way.
Is he the new Lando?
So good.
Yeah, he was super good.
Is he going to be the new Lando?
I was going to say no.
He can't. He can't be, because I mean that selling them out the way he did, you know, there's no going back from that. Really, can't walk that back.
Yeah.
All right. We've talked about the movie plenty. We critique it, but we do that as Star Wars fans. We all enjoyed the movie. We all liked it. We're all going to see it 500 more times.
Probably so.
So
I'll buy it on Blu-ray, I promise you. I'll buy it on the Blu-ray. I'll buy it digitally.
I've already pre-ordered on digital.
Yeah,
so.
My kids will love it. You know, it will become part of something that we watch. We typically watch all the movies, all the episodes in order, you know, including including the Rogue One episode. You know, probably we will watch them all in order again before Han Solo comes out. It's just part of what we do to try to get ready for it.
Maybe a lame question for you guys, but where do you rank it? I mean, there was a big thing about this,
I feel
like, when Force Awakens came out. Where do you rank it, and then Rogue One and all this kind of stuff? Where do you feel like it falls in terms of quality on the scale, you know, the ones that have come out?
Man, it's so hard to talk about that. You know, and part of the reason why is because each movie, like, again, fits in its decades, right? I mean, if you talk about, you know, you could talk about editing, you could talk about special effects, you could talk about, you know, plot and writing style. I think there's so many different ways that you can kind of grade this movie, and I think it would come out in different areas on each one, right? So, you know, in my personal opinion, just kind of overall, I would say that it's, you know, not better than the three old movies. You know, it's kind of it's definitely better than the prequels. you know, it's probably on par with the last two movies that have come out, Rogue One and The Force Awakens. I would probably say it's, in my opinion, it's not as good as Force Awakens or Rogue One, but it's better than the prequels, which would put it sixth, I guess, out of the 9 or 10 that we've had.
Crazy to think we have that many already.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's where I'd put it.
Hey, there's a Clone Wars movie, too.
Oh, that's right.
Just saying, they have the Clone Wars series, and they have the Clone Wars movie.
Agnar, if you really want to get into it, there's also a Christmas special.
Oh, there is a Christmas special.
And there is also a couple of Ewok movies, all right? I mean, if we really want to get down into the nitty-gritty about it, go check that out on Beta, on VHS or Beta. Why don't you?
I agree with you, Grande. Like, I put it right in the 5-6 range for me. Yeah. So,
I got to put it at 4.
Oh, you can put it at 4. All right.
4. That's interesting.
What about you, Painted?
I mean, I'm obsessed with Rogue One. I mean, it's definitely one of my favorites. So I think it's better than personally for me, better than Force Awakens, but below the original trilogy and Rogue One. Although, I don't know. It's hard because it's new, right? And it might grow with this third movie. I mean, if the third movie pays off the setups in ways, you know, that we all start to love, I think it could grow. You know, I think it could, if we look back at Kylo Ren as one of the great villains of all time, or at least of the Star Wars universe, then certainly this movie is probably going to rise up that list because this is the movie where he became that guy, right?
So, all right. Well, I think we've rambled on long enough. I think we're at about 2 hours now. So I think we're going to have to call it for the night. On behalf of me and Coleman, Grande, Painted, I appreciate you guys coming on. I enjoyed it tonight. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
thanks for letting us ramble. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, Painted, I don't know if – I don't think you're really on Twitter and all that stuff. But
no.
Grande, where can people find you and your show at?
So first of all, you got to check us out, Reality Skewed Gamers on YouTube. We do a lot of live streams. We answer a bunch of in-game questions. We answer about modding. We have fun. We have a great time. We do at least three streams a week. We do a Wednesday stream. We do a Saturday morning stream, and we do a Saturday evening stream. You know, kind of Wednesday evening is kind of our bread and butter. That's like all the news that's fit to talk about for an hour and a half plus. And then Saturday boarding is Jedi Academy. It's all about, you know, just straight up, how do we help the players, right? We typically have, 9, 8, 10 guys on there and girls talking about the game, asking questions. If you have any kind of concerns, areas you need improvement, things you want to talk about, different comps, definitely ask it of us. And you can look at us on Reality Skewed Gamers on YouTube. I also have my own YouTube. It's Grande Patron, where I throw out a couple videos every once in a while. It's usually funny arena comps. And then you can also follow me on Twitter at Grande Patron. So it's pretty fun. That's kind of what we do. I really want to appreciate you guys having me on, and really appreciate you guys having this podcast.
Yeah.
So thanks for all you guys do. I have to give a little shout out to my guild, which is Dark Lords. I will tell you that they are the best group of folks you'll ever meet. So we're definitely excited to have to give them a small plug.
Small plug. There you go.
And I got to give a small little plug to my guild leader. I told him I would. So thank you, Mythix, for introducing me to Grande. It's been a riot. So.
I would thank my guild leader, but he's on the call right now.
He's in the room.
Thanks,
awkward. Awkward. Actually, I do have a shout out this week that I want to give out because I had something very random happen to me. So I went on vacation.
Right.
And I get to the airport in Milwaukee. And I go in, I'm early. I'm like, well, what do I do when I'm early at an airport? I'm going to a goddamn bar. So I went to the bar, and I sit down, and I look to the left of me, and some guy has his phone propped up doing arena runs.
Nice.
And nice. I'm like, I sit down next to him, and I'm like,
hey,
almost your payout time, huh? He's like, yep. I'm like, I know how that is. And we got to talking, and then he's in a guild that was just like, ugh. They weren't, like, he was, like, the highest galactic power in his guild, and they couldn't even get Heroic AET down. And he's like, I need to move on. He's like, I need to get out of here. I'm like, let me tell you about the guild I'm in. And then I'm like, I was talking about Shard Chat. So within 20 minutes of meeting this guy, he joined Rebel Force, and then I found him his Shard Chat.
Yeah.
Because he had three guys from Rebel Force on the Shard Chat.
Oh, wow.
So, like, so this, his name is Sigismund. He is now in Rebel Force now. So I'm glad he found a home, but it's just one of those random, you never know.
Yeah, I will tell you that in my real life, I went to a conference. It's so funny. It's a similar story. I went to a conference, and somebody saw me playing the game, and they're like, oh, you play that game too. And then they were like, wait, you're Grande Patron. And I'm like, yeah? And she's like, I can't believe it! And the boss went crazy. And I mean, this is like a girl, you know, who has like Star Wars tats like on her body. And she went crazy. And her boss, who I happen to know and we happen to do business with, he's like, why is my employee wigging out over you? And I was like, oh, this is an awkward moment. Right?
Can we step out of work for a second?
Like, can I tell you, I'm kind of a nerd and I'm kind of a dweeb. And will you still do business with me if I tell you what I do as my main hobby? It's not porn or drugs.
Like, well, it's Star Wars. I would have preferred it to be porn.
Or drugs.
Or yeah, drugs.
That might have been cooler, but this one. Actually, Ednar, you have another shout-out to do, because you did a shout-out last time about one of your guild members having an issue, right?
Yes. Well, all right, so it's a shout-out to Thakman and Grande.
God, you had to, Grande.
Well, so, you knew I was going to bring it. It's the whole reason why I'm here today, right?
Yes. So Thakman in our guild had an issue where he couldn't get connected to his Apple Game Center. And I mentioned it on the show, and Grande stepped up and was like, I can help.
He was the wolf.
Like,
pass me the ball, coach.
Yeah, like, he talked to CG. Thakman talked to CG. He couldn't get it done. And Grande is like, I got this. Comes in. Had to convince Thakman that he wasn't an online sexual predator. And that's the hardest part. He was able to get him connected to the game center so he didn't lose his account. And to that, you're the savior of Dathomir.
It's the whole reason why I made it on the podcast, right? I was like, this is my reward. You have to put me on the podcast.
Oh, no. I mean, you could think that, but we actually had plans to bring you on before that.
Yeah. it just happened to have well-convenient time.
This was just a bonus.
There you go. All right.
So, all right, folks. Well, as always, you can reach us at RFA Podcast on Twitter. We always like iTunes feedbacks. You can join us in our Discord, which I will put in the show links, as well as ways to get a hold of Grande and go harass him in his YouTube chat, which I have done, which I will do more. So, if you're not listening to Coleman work out during the show, just saying. That was weird.
Yeah.
But
I didn't think the show would go on that long, and I was like, oh, shit.
You're like, hey, there's dumbbells going on in the background over here. Oh, yeah, Coleman's at the gym, as always.
Yep.
So, well, thank you all for joining us for our wonderful 22nd episode. Hope you all enjoyed, and we will see you guys next week.